You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. You want to listen to the UNI South Dakota State game tomorrow to see how it's going? Pre-game starts at 3. Game starts at 4. Check it out. We have Chargers, Falcons, Seahawks, Cardinals, Chiefs, and Titans are the Sunday night game. And then UNI versus Wartburg in basketball starting Monday night, 7 o'clock pregame. So you get an hour after my show. And then we'll dive right into some UNI. Some UNI basketball. Excited about that. This segment will be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022 and 2023, yes, it is now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better, to find more jobs, to find a better fit. There's a lot that goes into making things and lives better, but that's what they were looking for. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on their websites at thepalmergroup.com. When we've talked to everybody, that's what they've all said. It's a free service. Use it. Match. They'll get you matched up. At least get you in the right frame of mind and heading in the right direction to try to find the job. It could be the job of your dreams. It could be your first job. It could be a job that you have specific things that you're looking for. It doesn't have to be my dream job. It doesn't have to be the most money. I have these things, and this is what I'm looking for. They will work through it with you. That is the type of relationship that you will have with them. They have jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage and banking, keeping both staff and candidates very, very busy this time of year. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Okay. I wanted to talk about the NFL season coming up. B-Styles, like I said before, B-Styles is coming in here at 5:21, and then we'll do a little bit of potpourri, a little NBA as well. We had the opening game last night, Eagles and the Texans. I think it kind of went how we kind of thought it was going to go. I, you know what, that's a tough game. You're traveling. It's a tough game for Philadelphia. They still have some nicks and injuries and things. They did what they were supposed to do. I mean, I think that we can agree that as I click here, because I was just getting ready to shout out the score, and then I thought, okay, I got to be right. It was 29 to 17. Jalen Hurts was 21 to 27 for 243. I had Godert, the tight end, on my bench last night for 8 receptions and 100 yards and a touchdown for 21 points. So thank you for that, whoever I'm playing this week. It was a game that Philadelphia needed to win. It's a game that Philadelphia did win. And that is exactly where they are and exactly what they need to do to stay in and lock up that number one seed. So I was kind of looking last night. So they play the Washington Commanders. They play at Indianapolis. They play Green Bay at home. They play the Titans at home. They go to the Giants. They go to the Bears. They go to the Cowboys. They have the Saints and the Giants at home. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles are not going to go undefeated. And here's the major reason that they're not going to go undefeated. The biggest equalizer in the NFL this year is injuries. Not to mention the fact that you're going to a 17-game schedule, but injuries are playing a significant part this year. So even if they were 14-0 or 15-0, they're not playing all their guys at the end of the year. They're just not going to do it. if they get home field advantage in the number one seed sewn up way early, they have nothing to gain by that. You have to stay healthy. It's not as easy a schedule as people thought. The Commanders aren't a gimme anymore. And they get Chase Young back. He's missed a whole year. People forget how good Chase Young, how dominating he was before he got injured. The Packers game, even though it's at home, that's not an easy game. Going to the Colts are a mess. The Titans aren't interesting. The Titans aren't going to beat. They're going to have a hard time with Kansas City. They would have a hard time with Philadelphia. They have a hard time with teams that can score quickly and have really good offenses and really good defenses. The Giants game, you know, that's at New York. I think that's maybe more difficult than what many think if everybody's healthy. At the Bears, I don't think that's going to be a big deal. The Cowboys, probably that game means a lot more to the Cowboys. The hatred between these two means that no matter what, they're playing as hard as they can play. Then they finish with the Saints and then the Giants at home. And like I said, you're going to have some players not playing. I'm just telling you right now that it's going to happen, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Okay, let me click on the NFL and hit standings again so I can see that. Okay, so moving into, you have the Los Angeles Chargers are at Atlanta. I think Atlanta's favored in this game. Once again, reasons not to have Brendan Staley be your head coach with a talented team like that. Miami is at Chicago. I don't think that's a tough I don't know how Chicago defends Miami's offense unless it's just a horrific weather day. And then that's an equalizer. Carolina goes to Cincinnati. Cincinnati should get back on track. They have to protect Joe Burrow at all costs. Green Bay at Detroit. This is an interesting game. I think the Green Bay Packers offense is going to get better because the Detroit defense is not very good. I think the Detroit offense is going to push the Green Bay defense to places they don't want to go. That's going to be interesting. Indianapolis plays at New England. New England needs to find out if Mac Jones is a quarterback or if he's not. And then whoever their other, I can't even remember, the Dallas Cowboy guy just popped into my head. Cooper Rush popped in there and not the other guy. He's not the answer either. If Mac Jones can't win a home game against Indianapolis, New England's going to be in the quarterback market again. That'll be very interesting. Buffalo is at New York. If New York was full strength with everything that they had, I think it'd be a better game. I think they're going to test Buffalo a little bit, but I think Buffalo is going to make life miserable for their quarterback. So I don't think that's going to end well. Minnesota is where am I at? Las Vegas plays at Jacksonville. This needs to be, for Doug Peterson's sake, this needs to be a win. The Las Vegas Raiders are not very good. They're not playing very good. Trevor Lawrence just needs to get some wins put together. The Minnesota Vikings go to Washington. Once again, it's going to be interesting to see. I and a few others think the signing of TJ Hockenson is a bigger deal. The fact that they now have TJ Hockenson even makes it even more challenging to double both Thielen and Jefferson. I don't know how you do it. TJ is really, really good in that 15 to 25 yard routes. He's a lot faster than you think he is. That's going to be something special. Seattle is at Arizona. This is a huge game for Arizona. Once again, it's another. If this is a blowout game, I think it's time. Maybe you make an in-season change with coach. If it's a blowout. Because I don't know if him and Kyler Murray aren't connecting. Kingsbury. I don't know if they're not connecting. I don't know if one doesn't trust the other or they both don't trust. I don't know what it is, but it's bad. The Rams, Super Bowl champion Rams, go to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay needs this win. Tom Brady needs this win. Tom Brady has some of his personal stuff out of the way. It's done. It's out there. It's over. It's all good. And I'm very anxious to see what happens. And then you have Tennessee at Kansas City. I think Tennessee is a very flawed team. I think they're going to have their second-year quarterback in again. I think they're going to dare him to beat them, and they're not going to let Henry rush that. But I don't know if Tennessee can stay in the game because of how much I think Kansas City can score. If this game was in Tennessee, totally different. And if Tannehill, as much as I dislike Tannehill, Tannehill and Kirk Cousins are the same person, except for Kirk Cousins has better stats. And then your Baltimore at New Orleans is the Monday matchup. Scares me. New Orleans plays better at home. Michael Thomas not playing doesn't scare me as much. Their defense doesn't scare me as much as what it used to. It's a pretty good schedule for the NFL. You know, Buffalo has a two-game lead. The Ravens have a game lead over Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's in trouble. I 3 weeks ago, I thought they were out of trouble, and then just like that, depending on who you play, is the sack numbers come in again, and they're going to get him hurt. The way the team is playing right now, they're going to get him hurt. And taking away his security blanket in Ja'Marr Chase really, really hurt. The Tennessee Titans are 5-2 in the AFC South, which is awful. They're not a good football team. They are exactly, well, how was that? They are who we thought they were. I mean, that is the Tennessee Titans. If you can't stop the run, they're going to beat you. Or if you can't outscore them. And there's a lot of teams in the NFL that can't outscore them. The Chargers are a disappointment, even though they're 4-3. Let's see what happens there. The Broncos are 3-5. The Raiders are out. The Philadelphia Eagles didn't look great last night. That's a letdown game. It's always going to be a letdown game. The Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants are both 6-2. I think it keeps continuing to get harder for the Giants. But listen, they're still buying in. I still like watching them. You know, that's the part of it that makes it intriguing is you understand they got the right coach. There's a lot of teams here that went, man, what were we thinking? Because that was the consensus of a lot of people out there. Brian Daboll was the best coach out there if you had a young or needed to develop some offensive cohesion, and he does that. The Washington Commanders at 4-4, they're going to make it intriguing because with Tyler Heinicke, their offense is better. It's really interesting to see how that works. I feel really bad for Carson Wentz, because I think Carson Wentz is a good human being. His teammates seem to like him until he turns the ball over too much. It's just every single time he goes back, there's a chance he's going to lose a ball. And you can't have that as an NFL quarterback. The most intriguing team in the NFL is the Minnesota Vikings, because everybody wants to say, and everybody on radio has said it this week, it doesn't matter. They have Kirk Cousins. They're not a good football team. And I don't know if that's true. If they stay healthy and he has all of his weapons, I think Kirk Cousins has enough, and their defense is good enough. Their defense is is really, really good right now. I don't know what to think of the Green Bay Packers. We talked about them the other day. Listen, this Detroit game is not a gimme, and I could see this game being 52-49 because I don't think the Green Bay Packers defense can stop them either. Then they have to play the Cowboys. They get the Cowboys up in Lambeau. It's not going to be cold, so I don't know what that's going to look like. Then they get the Titans up there with a running game that I don't know if they can stop the running game. And then they have to go to the Eagles. That's a loss. Then they have, they're at the Bears. I think that game's a pick 'em. Depending on how the Bears, you know, if the Bears have a couple of rough games in between where they're at. Then they play the Rams at home. I think that's a win for them. I get that. Then they have to go to the Dolphins. I don't think that's a win. Then they get the Vikings at Lambeau, and then they get the Lions at Lambeau. So you get the Vikings, the Dolphins and the Vikings have a chance to make it so, because they are, as it stands right now, they're 3-5. So I give them the Lions win. They're 4-5. I don't care which one of these you give them to. So between the Cowboys and the Titans, they're going to be 5-6. With the Eagles, they're going to be 5-7. And then you have, they could be 5-7. They could be 7-7. I think the Dolphins take them to 7-8. And then you have the Vikings and Lions that they have to win just to get to 9 wins, to be 9-8. I don't know if that gets you into the playoffs. It might in the NFC because it's a down year in the NFC. And that's giving them some games that you never have. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. B Styles coming in next.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. On sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. From listening to the road report, please drive home safely. There's accidents everywhere, so let's slow down, take some time today. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment will be brought to you by Woodman Controls Company. It is a controls company, a building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security of your building. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to Woodman Controls and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. My next guest, he is Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles, and he is here on a Friday. Hello, B. How are you?
Doing good, Steen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's kick this off. It's not going to be a great weather day in Ames for West Virginia. That's not as an important game, but man, it's really not going to be good weather for the Iowa-Purdue game.
It's not going to be good weather up here in Minnesota either.
Yeah.
I think the whole Midwest is getting it tomorrow.
It is crazy.
But yeah, I think I know where you're going to go with this. As far as the weather conditions go, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, this should play to Iowa's advantage because, you know, Purdue likes to throw the ball a lot, which, yes, but I feel like if Iowa's going to win this game tomorrow, the Hawkeyes have to be able to do two things. Number one is they have to be able to shorten the game. And what I mean by that, and I'm sure you know this, is they got to be able to control the clock, put together drives that even if they don't score, like take 6, 7, 8 minutes off the clock at a time if you can, and keep Purdue's offense on the sidelines as much as possible. because this is the one team that, for whatever reason, Phil Parker has not really been able to figure out since Jeff Brohm's arrived at Purdue. We know that they've won 4 out of 5, but I think what's even more alarming about that is the fact that in all 4 games that Purdue has won in the last 5 years against Iowa, they've scored at least 24 points. So this is going to be something where the offense has to be able to help the defense out a little bit here in terms of being able to control the clock. The other thing I feel like Iowa is going to have to do, and this is where maybe the wind can play a factor, is they're going to have to win the turnover battle. And I know you'll hear Kirk Ferentz say that all the time. You'll hear other football coaches say it all the time. But it's really true here because, again, I mentioned before how you want to keep their offense on the sidelines. That means the Iowa offense is going to have to play a clean game like it did against Northwestern. And the defense, it's one of those things that since the one thing that they might be able to do in order to combat what Purdue is going to try to do to them tomorrow is maybe knock the ball out a few times, maybe force 2 or 3 turnovers that could potentially lead to points, or at the very least is going to keep them off the scoreboard.
Right.
And I feel like if they can do that, then they have a shot. If they're not able to do one or both of those things, then I'll be honest with you, I don't see how they win this game.
Because I think, even with the weather, I think you're going to have to score 24 to win. And
yep.
I don't think Purdue has an issue, even though as good as Iowa is, I don't think just if you were going to just say, nope, I think Purdue can score. I don't know if Iowa can score 24. I know their offense probably can't score 24.
Right. And that's where people would say they probably need a defensive score, which, again, goes back to what I was saying. They need to force turnovers. But the other thing, too, to your point about Purdue, they don't have to just chuck it deep every time. They could just throw a bunch of 4 or 5 yard passes. That could basically be like a running game for them. Right. And they could rely on guys like Charlie Jones, former Hawkeye, to be able to get yards after the catch. And I think that that's going to be a big part of the game plan there for Jeff Brohm. And it could be a situation where they're just dinking and dunking, and it's basically death by a thousand cuts, if you will.
Yeah. Iowa had a clean game against Northwestern. If they don't have a clean game, and I'm saying offensively, if they don't have a clean game, if they have a couple of turnovers here or there, a fumble, a pick, I don't see how they win games that those things happen in.
Exactly. And you know, to be fair, last week was the get right game that people were hoping for.
Right.
But again, you have to take that with a grain of salt because Northwestern might be the worst team in all of the Power Five, not just in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they are not good. And you know, just speaking on that really quickly, I mean, that's a Northwestern guy. How long do they let him keep doing these kind of seasons?
I mean, he's going to be there as long as he wants. I think the blame is more likely going to be placed at his coordinators before it gets to him. And to be fair to Pat Fitzgerald, this is kind of unusual for him in the sense that, like, every time that he has had a bad season, they've been able to bounce back. They've been to the Big Ten championship game twice in recent memory. Obviously, divisions play a huge role in that. And I think 2020, they were benefited by not having to play in front of any crowds. But yeah, that's a tall order, but he understands that university and that community probably as well as anybody. That being said, they play Ohio State tomorrow. That could get really ugly,
really
just
fast.
Based off what we've seen with Iowa the last 2 weeks, with beating Northwestern soundly, and then before that, seeing what the Buckeyes are able to do.
4 games left. They need to win 2 to become bowl eligible.
I don't know their APR score, but there's a chance they might only need to win 1.
Really? Wow.
Well, it depends on, like, if there are not enough. Obviously, this comes down to, because there's so many bowl games, do you have enough teams that are 6-6 or better? And if there aren't, and I have no, we're not at the point yet where we could really, like, calculate that. But about a month from now, if let's say Iowa is sitting at 5-7, if depending on what their APR score is from the previous academic year, there's a slim chance it wouldn't necessarily be a Big Ten bowl game, but it would be a bowl game of some sort that they could technically go to. It's what happened with Nebraska a few years ago. I think it was Mike Riley's first year. They went 5-7, but they ended up going to, like, I think it was the bowl game that was in San Francisco that I think has now moved to Las Vegas, and they beat UCLA in that game. So you never know.
Yeah, having a bowl game is important. I mean, it gives you some time away. and it helps you even get prepared for the following season. I really like that part.
Yes.
If they have to get two, the four that are left, who's the easiest two? I mean, is it Nebraska and...
Well, Nebraska is the easiest, yes, by far. This is tough. I think I would say Minnesota, but the thing, I'm basing that more off of history than anything else. The issue there could be Minnesota probably is the best defense of the teams that they're playing left. It's got to be one of these next three. I don't know if it'll happen tomorrow. If it does, then okay.
Then it
you're
looks
looking at potentially. Yeah, it looks better at the very least. And 6-6, depending on how it all works out with the Big Ten, they're probably only going to get two teams in the New Year's Six, which I suspect will be Ohio State and Michigan. But then you got either Illinois or Penn State. They would go to the Citrus and whatever the Outback Bowl is now called. And then I think it's the Duke's Mayo Bowl after that. I don't know if Iowa would be in a position for that necessarily, but at some point you get into those lower tier games. If they're 6-6, then they have a shot at one of those.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's doable. I think they've gotten over a little bit of the hump. But tomorrow's games, we've said this. We were saying this 4 weeks ago. This Purdue game, it matters. It's a big game. Kind of similar teams. Yeah. You have an ex-Iowa player that's playing really well. It's gonna heighten tensions.
You actually got two ex-Iowa players on that are both receivers on that team. So, right. But yeah,
interesting. Your Bears, you get the Dolphins. What's your thought process?
The Bears no longer have a defense anymore after Trey. Yeah,
that's a tough
Robert Quinn
tough
and now Roquan Smith. But to be fair, I think the Claypool trade, I wasn't sure how I felt about it at first because I was just like, okay, they really gave up their own second-round pick as opposed to what they got from Baltimore. But then you hear, okay, well, that was what enabled Pittsburgh to choose trading him to Chicago versus trading him to Green Bay, which is like, okay, so there's that aspect of it. And I think the other thing, too, that Ryan Poles was looking at is you look at the free agent class for next year, and the Bears are going to have the most cap space of any team in the league. But
right. You
look at wide receivers specifically, it's like Nelson Aguilar might be the best name on that list.
And that's not good.
It's one of those situations. It's like, would you rather get Chase Claypool now while he's still on a rookie deal and allow him to have a year and a half to work with Justin Fields? Or do you want to go out there and maybe end up overspending for a guy like Nelson Aguilar the same way that Jacksonville overspent on Christian Kirk this past offseason? So I think that's probably the reason why they made that trade. Obviously, losing Roquan hurts, but at the same time, there's not as much value at his position that there are other positions on the defensive side of the ball. I will say this for your Ravens, though. I think he's going to be a good fit for them, and it might very well help them in terms of being able to win the AFC North this year. But the big question is going to ultimately come down to, does Baltimore try to sign a long-term deal with him like you just saw Miami do with Bradley Chubb, or is this going to be something where he ends up being a rental?
Yeah, I think they're going to sign him long-term because I think they think with, and I just lost his name, Patrick, their other linebacker, young linebacker.
Yeah, Patrick McQueen.
Yeah, that you can let one-on-one play tear loose at the quarterback and the other one defend somebody coming out of the backfield. They're interchangeable. So I think that's interesting. The Bears have a 1, 2 twos, 2 fours, 2 fives, and a 7 next year in the draft, which if you listen to college people, it may not be the best quarterback draft, but there's some athletes in this upcoming collegiate draft that I think the Bears can get some good players. And I think I trust Ryan Poles. I'm hoping that you do as well.
Right, and you know, they can still draft a receiver too at some point, whether it's in the first round, depending on where they're picking, or if it is, you know, a mid-round pick. But as far as Sunday's game, real quickly, it's going to be one of those situations where I'm encouraged by what I've seen the last 2 weeks from Justin Fields and from the offense, so I feel confident that they could put up some points on Miami. The issue is going to be, can you stop Tua, can you stop Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle? I have a feeling they're going to have their hands full with that big time, and, yeah. and I don't necessarily see a victory, but
rain and a windstorm.
At the very
would be
least,
good.
It should be an entertaining game.
You need rain and a lot of wind, and yeah. maybe that's an equalizer.
They need some of the Iowa Purdue weather.
Yes. Okay. Give me your thoughts and your picks. LSU, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia.
Okay, I think Alabama's going to win big, and I know that there's a whole thing about Death Valley at night, and it's always played in the LSU's hands, but Bama's been the one team that always seems to do well down there against them, and I keep coming back to LSU getting destroyed by Tennessee a few weeks ago. I don't know if it'll be quite like that, but I have a feeling that Bama's going to win this game big. LSU does have that win over Ole Miss, but I feel like they're being a little overrated in light of that. As far as Tennessee-Georgia, I wanted to pick the Vols when I was thinking about this game. And, you know, I'm starting to maybe see a few parallels with them and that LSU team from a few years ago that won the national title. But I keep coming back to, like, the fact that Tennessee ended up being number one in the CFP, I think that plays right into Kirby Smart's hands because it's like you basically gave him all the motivation he needs to give his team on Saturday. And the fact that they're at home as well. It's one of those things where both teams are going to put up points, but I think I trust Georgia's defense a little bit more to maybe get a stop here or there, which is ultimately why I think the Bulldogs end up winning that game.
I got a couple of questions on the World Series. One,
sure.
To kind of get your take on who you think's going to win. Can Philadelphia come back? And two,
no.
even if he doesn't do anything else, Bryce Harper, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's getting there. I don't know if he's quite there yet, but I think he's close. As far as Philadelphia winning it, they're going to need a miracle at this point because they really struggled against Valdez in game two. And I have a feeling that it's going to be a similar script tomorrow night in Houston. And that's probably going to be the end of it. I'd be shocked if it gets to a seventh game.
Does that take the cheating scandal away from Houston now? Can they put that to rest?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, I mean, because it's one of those situations. Yeah, okay, this team might be playing clean, but that issue from 2017, that's still going to be there forever. And that's going to be something that still gets talked about no matter what.
15 seconds. Did the NBA or the Brooklyn Nets do the right thing with Kyrie Irving?
Eventually, yeah. They should have did it a lot sooner, though.
I agree with you. And I thought the same thing. I thought they kind of let it go too long, too far. As soon as he met with both Silver and the owner, it should have been done. And they kind of took some time.
Agreed.
As always, have a great weekend. Good luck watching all your teams this weekend, buddy.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Yep, you bet. B Styles. Boy, that went way too fast. We got one more segment left. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. It's Friday. It's the last segment. Be right back.
When you're live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Friday. Be safe. A lot of accidents out on the road, a lot of rain, a lot of wind. Be careful. Eyes up, lights up. Be safe. Got to get you home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website is 1700thechamp.com. Want to thank sponsors of the show, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic, Woodman Controls, Northwest Bank, and DeMoss Des Moines Orthopedic. I think I got everybody. And also BetMGM and Come and Go. I could not do this show without them. Wouldn't want to do this show without them. It makes it pretty special for me. What else do I have here? We have UNI South Dakota State tomorrow, 3 o'clock pregame. It's a huge deal. Listen to your radios. Send some love up to the UNI Panthers, David Harris, Mark Farley, all of them. Get her going on. Sunday, Chargers Falcons, 11:30 pregame. Then you get Seahawks Cardinals, Chiefs Titans. Monday, UNI Wartburg. Live sports happening on this station rocks. Check it out. Get in here and listen to these things. It's awesome. Glad to be a part of it. Okay, I am going to... We have Iowa High School football playoffs tonight. And I'm clicking because it wouldn't let me click earlier. Here we go. Waukee Northwest versus Dowling Catholic tonight. Great weather for football. Enjoy. Wrap up. They're playing that at Williams Stadium. Cedar Rapids Prairie comes down to Southeast Polk. Johnston travels to Ankeny. Valley travels to Cedar Falls. Indianola travels to Cedar Rapids Xavier. Nope, that's 4A. So I've already hit the 5A one. So we went 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go. Next stop, Unidome. Class 4A, Indianola goes to Xavier. North Scott goes to Waverly Shellrock. Glenwood goes to Lewis Central. And Carlisle goes to Iowa City Liberty. Those are some good games. Curious to see what Glenwood can do tonight. Curious to see what Carlisle can do tonight. And Indianola, that's a tough game against Xavier. And North Scott, Waverly Shellrock, I think that's going to be low scoring, but it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes as well. Nevada and Harlan, Solon, Mount Vernon, Independence, Humboldt, North Polk, ADM, that's your 3A. West Lyon, Central Lyon tonight, wow, 10-0 and 8-2. OABCIG in Spirit Lake, Crestwood, Cresco at Dubuque Wallert, and Centerville at Williamsburg. So that's some stuff going on tonight with Iowa High School sports. Have fun tonight. Just stay warm and stay dry. Wow. Iowa State plays tomorrow. Haven't really talked about the game, so I'm going to talk about it really quick here. But a new 3D art piece called Breaking Barriers, honoring Jack Trice's legacy, will be there tomorrow. His family members first to walk through the piece. Ceremony today honoring 100 years since Trice was a student at Iowa State. It looks really cool. I can't wait to stop and see tomorrow. Some other things. We talked a little bit today. Jimmy Johnson returning back to NASCAR, returning to Petty Motorsports is really interesting. I think that's pretty cool. So I wanted to for B, because he came on and it's quick. I mean, 16 minutes goes really fast. He has University of Washington beating Oregon State 34-27. He has TCU beating Texas Tech 45-31. He has Georgia beating Tennessee 41-31. He has KU beating Oklahoma State. That's taking out the Oklahoma State from where they want to be. K-State beating Texas. I'm good with that. Alabama beating LSU. Pretty big. He has them at 38-17. He has Clemson beating Notre Dame 28-21. He has Michigan beating Rutgers 41-10. Wake Forest over NC State 31-21, and he has Purdue over Iowa 24-14. He has over under. He took the under 38.5 on that Purdue game. That's it's funny when you look at Big Ten over unders and you look at Big 12 over unders, or you look at SEC over unders. Wow, it's a lot. Let's see here. From noon to midnight, you can get $10 tickets anywhere in the Unidome. Now is the time to get your tickets for tomorrow's game versus number one South Dakota State, if you haven't already. The promo code is BEATSTATE. Check that out. I like it. This was interesting to me today because you have NCAA basketball starts on Monday. Odds to make the 2023 Final Four. The lowest odds is Houston and Gonzaga. They're both at plus 200. North Carolina plus 230. Kentucky plus 270. Kansas plus 330. Baylor plus 330. UCLA plus 330. Duke plus 350, Arkansas plus 390, and Arizona plus 400. Thought that was kind of interesting. I found this really interesting, and now that I found, so it's Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe. If you listen to football personnel, they will tell you that in the long term effect is that Mac Jones is a better quarterback, is going to be a better quarterback no matter what over Bailey Zappe. But Matt Patricia says the difference in play calling for Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe are based on the opponent, not the quarterback. I don't buy that. I just don't. That's just the New England way of saying, hey, we're not going to tell you what we do and blah, 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 blah. I can't even take it. Sorry, Nana. I know that we're supposed to be nice to New England, but I just can't do that. Man, these are some big, big games. When you really look at this weekend and these five games, Tennessee at Georgia, Alabama at LSU, Clemson at Notre Dame, Texas at Kansas State, and Wake Forest at NC State. These games mean a lot. I mean, you have a lot riding on these games. I mean, I think if that Clemson game's in Clemson, I think that's an easy Clemson win. I think Texas is going to struggle against K-State just because Texas struggles. Listen, we've said this a lot that, you know, Jimbo Fisher had opportunities to bring in the best athletes at Texas A&M because of the past history. Name, image, and likeness changed that. And I think Texas A&M is it's a cool stadium. It's a cool campus. It doesn't compare to a lot of campuses across the country. And Steve Sarkisian and coaches, they're paying them so much money. Jimbo Fisher's payout's like $70 million. Steve Sarkisian's payout is like $45. If you have to pay that much, you have to be able to look at both sides of this before you say yes. I don't know. I had people coming up to me again today and ask me about Auburn and what they should do. And the SEC is a tough place. I don't think you can get Deion away. I really don't. And I don't know. That's such a tough thing. I don't know if I'm Lane Kiffin if I leave Mississippi. Is Mississippi that much better than Auburn? You're always going to be an Alabama shadow. If you go to Auburn, and he stays at Mississippi and plays well, gets to maybe a playoff, knocks off some teams, and Nick Saban retires, would you rather have the Alabama job when Nick Saban retires or go to Auburn and get beat by Alabama and being right back where you were before? If Lane Kiffin believes in Lane Kiffin, I'm staying at Mississippi. I'm winning as many games as I can. And when Nick Saban retires, I'm fighting for that job. Now, that doesn't mean that job's going to stay the way it is. But, man, they've built it up really well. And all of this, all of it, depends on what happens with name, image, and likeness and what happens with paying if NCAA athletes became employee. I mean, all these things could change in a heartbeat. And some coaches right now just don't know what to do with name, image, and likeness, and their programs are disintegrated because of it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. I will see you on Monday at